If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
I know you said you want to play next year. Do you think it'll be in KC?
You never know. All that business will go during the off season. My heart's with the Chiefs. So however I can make it work, I'm going to make it work. This team, we have something. We just, too bad we didn't take advantage this year.
That was Derrick Johnson yesterday out at the Arrowhead practice facility when several members of the media were out there. At noon, Andy Reid spoke but said nothing. And then players were made available in the locker room. And again, the only three players that agreed to speak. So give them credit. Derrick Johnson, Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, and Darrell Revis. Charkandrick West was going to talk, but then he had to take a physical. Ron Parker declined. Mitchell Schwartz declined. Patrick Mahomes did a quick walkthrough. What a wonderful breath of fresh air that was. In a white jumpsuit, just walked in there. And just for like 30 seconds, I felt free.
Did he smell like hope?
I didn't get that close. I'm just saying he looked. Yeah. It's a beautiful white jumpsuit. And he came over and he gave someone like the bro hug. And he's like, yeah, man, I'll be back here in a minute.
Man.
Yeah. I'm back here. See you later.
I can't do that. There's a lot going on with that voice.
Yeah. Hopefully we hear that voice.
I think we will.
Many times next year. Sam Mellinger joins us along with me and Nate Buchady and Jake Gutierrez. Doesn't make for great radio, but I read your column and I read Vahe Gregorian's column and I completely agree with both. And so there's nothing to debate as far as what you wrote yesterday, but we can agree on everything. So let's just start with what happened before we talk about the next segment. And if you can stay longer, that's great. If not, I'm sure we can call Gary back and he'll get us through the last hour of the show.
Please, God, no.
I went down this list.
I will quit. Right. That's it.
I went down this list of all the different reasons why the Chiefs lost, from Kelsey getting hurt to Chris Jones getting hurt to Bob Sutton apparently wearing a blindfold while calling the defense in the second half, and the bad offensive play calling, the offense not capitalizing on an opportunity with the ball in their hands at the end of the game to put themselves in position for a field goal, to Kareem Hunt having 11 carries, to the defense not stopping the run, to Marcus Mariota putting the team on his back and the Chiefs could do nothing about it. All kinds of great things. You throw in a little Jeff Triplett there, a little sprinkle, a little Salt Bay with Triplett. You tell me, what why did they lose on Saturday?
All of it, right? Like, but I think the umbrella statement here is that they weren't good enough. And they folded like a lawn chair. You cannot. Andy Reid, you're 100% right that Andy Reid said nothing in that press conference yesterday. But one thing that he did say a little too often was references to injuries. I understand that I think Eric Berry has a chance to be a Hall of Famer. I love Eric Berry. I think he's important. I think he's a good player, all that stuff. Travis Kelce being injured changed that game. Chris Jones being injured changed that game. But that is an excuse. And, the team that won the Super Bowl last year had their second best player injured. The team that the Chiefs lost to the other day had two defensive starters on IR. We can talk about, well, next year when Barry's healthy and Spencer Ware's healthy and, you know, all this stuff, but somebody else will get hurt, that's part of the game. And that part of it annoys me. when it seems as if you're just getting a little too close to making that an excuse, because you're still up 18 points at home. You still have a lead, the likes of which only three teams in the history of the NFL have blown, that kind of lead in a playoff game. By the way, one of those three coached by your guy 4 years ago. The referee, I thought two bad calls. I can listen to the argument that the second one was actually, technically the correct call. But the first one wasn't. And that cost, 3 points, right? Difference in the game. I get that.
And if he returns it for a touchdown, maybe more than that.
Yeah, you know. Sure. Yep. Totally. But, you still drop passes. You still miss passes. You still miss tackles. You still had a defensive coordinator that, that couldn't figure out how to stop the one thing that you needed to stop. You still couldn't protect an 18-point lead at home. Like, wherever the blame, you can shoot your blame a million different ways, but like it has to be on the Chiefs. I don't want this injury stuff. I don't want this Jeff Triplett stuff. The Chiefs weren't good enough. They failed.
They absolutely failed. And I mean, Nate, you tell me, man, it's almost impossible to sit here and come up with the biggest reason why. That's why I say it's all going to be laid at the feet of Andy Reid. It's sure. His team.
Mm-hmm.
John Dorsey was chased off. It's his team. It's his coordinators, all of his guys. And again, as we've talked about today, complimentary football in the second half, because special teams, offense, defense, all came together to blow that game.
I had an Eagles fan tweet at me yesterday. We could have told you this was coming from the day you hired him. This is what Andy Reid's always been. And I thought, and I said back to him, we would kill for the kind of success that Andy Reid had in the playoffs in
right.
Philadelphia. How many NFC Championship games did they make?
Four in a row.
The comparison is Marty Schottenheimer in Kansas City. That's the comparison.
Yeah.
That's the comparison, because Andy Reid went to four NFC Championship games and a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean,
okay. And
take
a Super Bowl.
We take any of that. We were hoping this team would make an AFC Championship game. That's all. That's all we were hoping for. And I know that's still, that's tough to do and everything. But and it's different because with Marty, it was always they couldn't find a quarterback. They couldn't score any points. They had these great defenses. With Andy Reid, it's like they can't hold a lead. I don't know.
Did you know that since 2001, Andy Reid has won one playoff game as a betting underdog and lost seven as a betting favorite?
Yes.
That is
wow. Because I read Sam Mellinger.
And so here's the – like, there needs to be a lot of changes. Bob Sutton needs to go. Alex Smith needs to go. And they need to use that cap space and the draft picks in a smart way, all that stuff.
And also part of that is because they were a favorite a lot in Philadelphia.
Sure.
Right? And so that's
and
also –
lost a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the tough part about Andy Reid. He deserves the credit for the fact that they've won back-to-back divisions for the first time in franchise history.
Right.
They were terrible, now they're good. But it's also like then in the playoffs, it's been a nightmare.
Yeah, that's not nothing. Like 2012 happened, and he was the coach the next year when they went to the playoffs. Like that, that's not nothing. But there's no credible, like he picked a good year to stink. He picked a good year to fall on his face in the playoffs because he just signed a contract extension. He's got a former intern as the GM. He's in place. Like he's going to have a new quarterback next year. He picked a good year to do this as far as job security goes. But there's no credible. Offseason change that it's got to, Sutton, Smith, all that stuff. But Andy Reid has to do a lot of like hard self scouting, right? And figure out why this keeps happening to him and what he can do. As innovative as he is with the RPOs and the shovel passes and, that Spencer Ware, the Kareem Hunt pass against the Patriots that everybody started copying. He needs to be that innovative in how he does his job, like, program management, because that's a common denominator. Like, he is there. He's the constant. It's his team, and he's got to make some changes.
I thought I was watching the game yesterday when Tony Romo was on the call of the Jags-Bills game, and he said something that just all of a sudden just was ringing in my ears about the Chiefs game. It was in the fourth quarter of that game, and he said, look, when you get to the playoffs, it becomes tough in the fourth quarter because now you're back to running your base stuff. You've run all your game plan kind of trick plays and everything that you've schemed for this game in the first half. And by the time you get to the fourth quarter, all those plays have been used, and now you're back to running what you run, and the other team knows what you do. And I thought, boy, that seemed like that described the Chiefs to a T in this game.
Yeah.
You know, like once they had to go back to their RPOs and what they just do on a normal basis, game over. I mean, they just couldn't do anything on offense.
And Tony Dungy said that for teams that offensive coordinators that script the first 15 plays or however many, and many times it works for the Chiefs, right? How many times have they gotten off to a fast start? Okay, and then they've gone into a lull. Tony Dungy said he's found with offensive coordinators that script those plays, and then they work. Sounds crazy, but then there's a reluctancy for the rest of the game to go back to those plays, even though they worked.
Right.
Because the wheels are always spinning. Ah, we've already showed them that. Now we're going to go. Now we're going to go here. We've done that. And it set up this later on. That's when he said, sometimes you just got to say, hey,
it worked.
Let's go back and do that because it worked, and make them stop what works. When so many times we see teams against the Chiefs, they find something and then they just keep doing it. And the Chiefs never make defensive adjustments. So I thought that was interesting from Tony Dungy. We'll take a break. Sam Mellinger from the Kansas City Star in studio right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Buchady. We've got Sam Mellinger in studio. His recent column, Chiefs Need Change. And they should begin by firing defensive coordinator Bob Sutton. I agree, but first we're going to tackle the quarterback question, and I think we're all on the same page here that the Alex Smith era should be done, and Patrick Mahomes II should be the starting quarterback beginning now. Go. So I believe we're in the Mahomes era. If we're not, any excitement that I'll have for the team next year will be a lie.
Yeah,
it'll be for my just to appease the people listening to the show, because I won't be excited.
Yeah,
in fact, unless I'm working, I will not attend a Chiefs game if Alex Smith is the quarterback next year. I won't go. If I have to work, I'll go. But if it's just my choice, I'm not going, because you could say whatever you want about what happened this year. But the bottom line is this. I sat here, and Jake sat here, the day after the Pittsburgh game and said, if Alex Smith is the starting quarterback next year, the season will end the same way. And no matter what happened, a lot of details along the way, we're here a year later, and the season ended the same way. So how about this idea? Let's stop doing the same thing. Bob Sutton's part of that as well. And also, you have to factor in the idea. It's not just Alex Smith versus Patrick Mahomes. That's a simpleton argument. It's Alex Smith versus Patrick Mahomes and what he could turn into, what his ceiling is, what you can spend the money on that you will save by trading Alex Smith, and what you could spend the draft picks on that you will acquire by trading Alex Smith. If you can't see that Patrick Mahomes and his upside and the three, four, or five players you could add with those resources, with what you get for trading Alex Smith, and you can't see that's better for the football team, then I can't help you. And will Patrick Mahomes be a better quarterback next year than Alex Smith is right now? No, probably not. If he is, boy, that's something real special. He can pull a Russell Wilson. We've seen it happen before. But what I can tell you is they need to find out what he is, and they need to start doing it with game one next year. Sam Mellinger.
Cosign. I don't know how anyone can make a logical argument about keeping Alex Smith. Any logical argument that that addresses the $17 million of cap space. I mean, that's a corner, an edge rusher, and a defensive lineman, and then you still have a second round pick, maybe 2 seconds, maybe a second and a third, whatever you can get for him. You know, you're surrounding Patrick Mahomes with a better team than you would be able to surround Alex Smith. And, you know,
and that's
like,
part of it.
Yes.
That's reality.
100%. And that game on Saturday was not, you know, solely Alex Smith's fault at all. His numbers were actually pretty good. Stunk in the second half, but whatever. But, you know, I think we'd all watch that game and agree that, and not just that game, the 16 games before it, we'd all watch the Chiefs this season and agree that they've got some issues. You know, they've got some holes. They need another corner. They need a lot more rush. They need a lot more pass rush. You know, they could use some defensive lineman depth. You know, they can have some other improvements that are needed, and you can't do that. You know, if you're carrying $20 million cap number on a quarterback who's good enough to get you beat in the playoffs. And, you know, Patrick Mahomes, this is factually correct. Patrick Mahomes can do things that Alex Smith is not only incapable of, but, you know, shouldn't even be thinking about. He's also going to make some mistakes that Alex Smith doesn't make. But Alex Smith's not perfect on those mistakes. Alex Smith threw, the last time they played the Titans, a horrific interception, you know, at the goal line. You know, Alex Smith will do that. He will play like a pile of dog turd against the Giants and Bills in back-to-back weeks. Like, that's part of it, too. You know, he's not just some perfect, no-mistakes guy. So, yeah, you have to go with the potential. And not just that, like, I think that this stuff matters, what the guys in that room think. And I do believe that they love Alex and respect him and all that stuff. But they're pretty excited about the kids.
There are. I can tell you for a fact that there are some players that want Mahomes to start.
Yes, they are pretty excited about the kid.
That is a true statement.
Yeah.
And I'll add to this, and then Nate, you go. The Chiefs do not have the luxury to spend $17 million on Alex Smith and have Patrick Mahomes with the two first-round draft picks invested in him. And I'll just give you a little help here. So if you're wanting this Mahomes thing to happen, and you've got that stubborn guy at work or whatever that's going to argue with you, well, Alex Smith wasn't the reason they lost on Saturday. Exactly right. He wasn't. But one of the quickest ways the Chiefs can get more help to cover up those holes that led to the loss on Saturday is to trade Alex Smith while his value is at its highest and get one or two high draft picks and get $17 million freed up to spend on help for the rest of the team, because it wasn't just Alex Smith. It wasn't his fault on Saturday. That's why you got to make the deal. Alex Smith did you a solid. He played way over his head this year to give you more of an opportunity to get back value in a trade.
That's exactly right.
Thank you, Alex Smith. Take advantage of it.
Yeah, saying that the Chiefs should trade Alex Smith does not mean that you are blaming Alex Smith for the playoff loss.
Yeah,
it's like saying, oh, they should let Eric Hosmer go. You're not saying that because you think Eric Hosmer sucks. It's because if you believe that it's not reasonable for the Royals to spend those resources on Eric Hosmer.
Yeah,
it's not reasonable to think that the Chiefs should spend these resources on Alex Smith when they have so many other needs.
That's just dawned on me because I heard this. I heard Seren making the comparison to Sporting Kansas City and Eric Hosmer last week. You know who would trade Alex Smith without even blinking is Peter Vermes. You know, he would trade him in a second.
Drop him off at one Arrowhead Drive.
But you know, the you guys know I'm a bit of an Alex Smith apologist.
A bit?
But I've also
from
day one said that they should trade him after the season was over, regardless. Even if they had won this playoff game on Saturday, I would have felt the same way.
You have. Yes, you have.
And I don't think he lost them the game. And I think I'd go as far as to say that in the second half, his numbers are drastically impacted by a couple of drops that were brutal drops that would have kept drives alive. And all of a sudden that 5-for-10 is an 8-for-10, and he's thrown more passes and Kareem Hunt gets the ball more, blah, blah, blah. Whatever. I don't think he lost the game, but I know he didn't win the game. And that's a high bar to set, right? That's like, okay, so that basically what I'm saying is he's not one of the elite quarterbacks that goes out and wins a game for his team when everybody needs him to win the game. And I don't know if Patrick Mahomes is going to be that guy or not yet, but it's an important statement to say he didn't lose the game, but he also didn't win the game, because there's a recipe for young quarterbacks. It's been proven that there's a recipe for young quarterbacks to win in the NFL. We're seeing Jared Goff do it this year. We saw Carson Wentz do it this year. We saw Russell Wilson do it when he was a young quarterback. We saw Ben Roethlisberger and Tom Brady do it when they were young quarterbacks. And the recipe is put a really good defense out there.
Saw Marcus Mariota do it.
You put a really good defense out there, and you put, well, for, and for Mariota's point, you put a really good running game out there, and the quarterback doesn't have to do as much.
Nah, you got
to
use it, though.
Yeah, you got to use it.
You got to hand the ball to the running back. For that
well, look,
count.
We're about to find out if Andy Reid has been holding back Alex Smith all this time. I'm assuming Patrick Mahomes is going to be the quarterback. But my point being is, I think Alex Smith can win in the playoffs if you put all that stuff around him. Well, if you want to put all that stuff around a quarterback, it ain't going to be Alex Smith here. Because we just talked about it. They need things. In order to have all of that supporting cast around one of these quarterbacks, they need to add some stuff. They need to add some defense.
And they don't have a first-round pick next year because you invested it in Patrick Mahomes.
You only have so many resources, and those resources are cap dollars and draft picks, right? Mm-hmm. You've got to spend those dollars in a way, either quarterback, because what we know is that Alex Smith is not Aaron Rodgers. You can't just put him out there and his team's a playoff team as long as he's playing. He's not that guy. He's a good, solid quarterback who has to have a really good supporting cast around him. And so if that's the case, then go with the young guy who's a lot cheaper and build for the future. That's what they need to do. I think we're all in agreement. They must trade Alex Smith this offseason.
Sam, your thoughts?
Well, one of the other reasons that Pat Mahomes is a better fit for this team going forward, again, I'm not saying that he's going to be better than Alex in 2018, but he can cover up some mistakes that Alex can't. And one of the things in that Denver game, and I've watched this game three times because I'm insane, one, he needs to get better against the blitz. That's something I didn't notice live. Blitzes got to him a little bit. They affected what he did. One thing that he did beautifully was pocket presence. And Alex has a tendency, especially the last few years, to break the pocket way before he needs to. It ruins a lot of plays because he doesn't, when he gets outside the pocket, he's kind of looking to survive instead of attack. When Patrick Mahomes gets outside the pocket, he's looking to attack. That first down pass that he threw to DeMarcus Robinson along the sideline is one of the most incredible plays that I've seen in a really long time from a quarterback. Alex Smith cannot do that. So when you have Patrick Mahomes, the offensive line now doesn't have to be as good. And not only that, when the offensive line breaks down, there's still a much better chance that Pat Mahomes is going to get you a big play. Those are the kinds of things that I think, like going forward, again, this is not an argument Patrick Mahomes in 2018 overall better quarterback than Alex Smith. This is an argument that Patrick Mahomes in 2018 a much better fit for the Kansas City Chiefs than Alex Smith.
Sam Mellinger is in studio. Back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. A couple other points we can make here. It was Not the only reason they lost, just like the refs weren't the reason why the Chiefs lost. A lot of things. Alex Smith wasn't the reason why the Chiefs lost. But these are all factors. The play calling was terrible. The offensive play calling in the second half was terrible. It was terrible. Third and one. You want to run an option with Alex Smith? You have Kareem Hunt. I mean, that's just and then you got a punt, and then you recover the muff punt, and you go nowhere. I think it was like three play. What do you have? Six plays for 7 yards in that sequence. It just brutal. No one can make plays. Nobody can overcome any type of adversity in the second half. But for the people out there, and let me tell you something, there was plenty of them. So don't be afraid to raise your hand. For the people out there, early in the season, well, you can't win with Travis Kelce. You got to get rid of this guy. You cannot win. You cannot win with Travis Kelce. How did that offense look without Travis Kelce in the second half? How'd that fit? You tried that on for size. How'd it fit? That clown suit's a little bit too tight for you, isn't it? You better take that off. All right. And I know there's still a lot of people that don't like Marcus Peters, but if you think that defense is better without Marcus Peters, not just one game, over the long haul. Again, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what else to say, because the interception that he had was brilliant. The interception was the product of film study and reading the quarterback and diagnosing a play and doing something special. And even though the runner was down, it was Marcus Peters that almost came up with a strip of Derrick Henry to win the game. And look, he'll make you mad plenty of times, but to give the Chiefs their best chance to win, he's got to be one of those 11 guys out there. Sam?
Yeah, it's that interception was similar to the gosh, which game was it? The game they had two picks. It's similar in that the ball was not thrown to his man. So that was, like you said, film study. That was a combination of brains and, you know, balls.
He read it and he jumped it. That's right.
You know, that's what that was.
What did he tweet one time? Got to
say, yeah, let them nuts hang.
Whoever says it is right.
They were hanging.
Doesn't matter who says it's right.
Yes. And the Travis Kelce injury, I mean, that was, you know, that was a killer. You know, not just because he's a spectacular player, you know, and yeah, I hate this word, but an elite talent. But the way that the Titans defend, they really needed Travis Kelce to have a big game, and he was having a big game. And not having him attacking the middle of the field really took away something very important. I'm going to push back just a little bit on the Kareem Hunt stuff. Just a little bit. He should have got the ball more. I agree with that. But two things to consider. I believe they only had 18 snaps in the second half.
Sounds about right.
If I'm off, I'm only off by one or two. So nobody got the ball in the second half enough because Bob Sutton's defense couldn't get off the field.
And they couldn't stay on the field.
Yes.
That's why that drop by Charles.
They only had four possessions.
Yeah, but that drop by Charles on the third and two, that keeps a drive alive.
Yes.
That gives you three more chances to hand the ball to Kareem Hunt. You know, those things matter.
That was a brutal drop.
Third and two, give it to Kareem Hunt because you can't drop a handoff.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
Fair enough.
The second point I want to make about Kareem Hunt is that Tennessee has a really good front seven, and they're tough and they're strong at the defensive line. The Chiefs were not, you know, there were times where Jamaal Charles was getting the ball and he'd have like eight carries for 61 yards or something like that, and they'd go away from him. And then you'd ask Romeo Crennel after the game, you'd be like, I don't know. I didn't know that he'd only got eight carries or whatever. This was not that. Kareem Hunt had finished with 11 carries for 42 yards. Not terrible, but my point is Tennessee's a hard team to run against, and it's not like Kareem Hunt was running it down their throats. So I'm going to push back on that just a little bit. I still think he should have got the ball more, but I don't blame, you know, this loss as much on that as it seems like a lot of people are.
And I'll say this. Notice when I say that he should have received more touches, I'm not saying carries.
Yes.
You can get him the football.
Because they'll give that up. Part of Tennessee's defense. They will give up some receptions to running backs out of the backfield. 100%.
That's exactly right. Yep. And so you get him involved in the passing game because
totally agree with that.
Kareem Hunt in space, that's why I make sure to say touches.
Yes.
Not just carries, touches.
No, that's a really good point.
Yeah, it goes back to the point we were making about the complimentary football on the negative side. The Chiefs, the defense couldn't get off the field. They also got no help from the offense because the offense couldn't stay on the field.
Yes.
You know, after you give up an 11-minute drive, it'd be nice for the offense to go out and maybe get three or four first downs and let the defense rest a little bit. I mean, that's the thing about this game again. This was the Chiefsiest of all Chiefs postseason games, in my opinion. It wasn't the worst loss of them all, but it was the one that combined like everything. A kicker missing a field goal, refs screwing you,
yes.
Offense falling apart, defense falling apart, bizarre, random, unlucky plays. Like, they all came together for this one.
Yeah, so
and they all had to happen for them to lose.
So somebody on Twitter, like, because this is what we do, I guess. We're going to be talking about this loss for years and years and years and years. And in the way that you talk about, you know, the kicker who shall not be named, the Elvis Gerbeck face, the no punt game, like all that stuff. And so, like, what's the name of it, right?
Right.
And so somebody on Twitter said, this should be the Frankenstein game because it was made up of all these little bits and it was exactly what you just said. The, you know, injuries, the kicker, you know, the flukiest play, you know, all these different things. Like, it was just the ghost of Chiefs playoff failures past, like all combined into one big, terrible turd.
Hopefully we'll look back and we'll say that this was the exorcism. Where everything had to happen one final time, that finally convinced the Chiefs to start their own quarterback that they drafted. It had to happen one final time because, trust me, there was still, and I'm sure they're going to hear some more today, there was plenty of talk still this past week. Well, if Alex Smith plays well, you can't trade him. There was still the plenty of people painting the scenario of him staying in Kansas City.
I think
maybe this just had to happen.
I disagree with that. Like, I think they were going to trade him anyway. You know, not a knock on him, but
the bye stuff, bye. You know,
17 million draft picks go
because it's like that's common that's sense. The stuff.
Yeah, it's a business decision.
You know, just to throw one more thing on the Frankensteinness of this this loss, the Marcus Peters forced fumble that wasn't a fumble that Jeff Triplett actually didn't blow the whistle on. I mean, I'm in the crowd and everyone's going crazy. The majority of the stadium thought the Chiefs had just won the game.
Yeah, I did.
And I was sitting there, again, I was looking, I was going, I was perfectly right on the line where he did. And I was looking around going, they're going to review this, he was down. Uh-huh. And so I couldn't even celebrate, but I was watching everybody around me go crazy. Like, if it wasn't enough to have all that stuff happen, uh-huh. they got to think they won the game for like 20 seconds, you know? I mean, just unbelievable.
I was going crazy, but there was still time left on the clock, and so.
Yeah, fair enough.
You know what I mean?
Fair enough.
The Chiefs are strong in you.
Right, there were still a couple of ticks left, so they were going to take the lead. I wasn't ready to say they were going to win it. Back after this on WHB.